Thank you, Dylan and Sarah, for that gift of music this morning. As we come to the message, our text is from the lectionary, the Old Testament book of Exodus, looking at chapter 33. And in this text, there's a dramatic conversation between God and Moses. And for those who really know anything about the history of Israel, starting with this book of Exodus, and even these themes that for people who really don't know the Bible story, these areas would be familiar. Obviously, the Exodus of God bringing the children of Israel out of bondage, freeing them as slaves from the iron-fisted authoritarian Pharaoh who oppressed them, is obviously a big central focus of the book of Exodus. But also another big theme that people would probably be familiar with is God giving the law, God giving the Ten Commandments to Israel, where God reveals his relationship with his people first with their relationship with him, and then what it means to be in a right relationship with other humans. And then at least the third area or category that people would know if they heard it is the story of the golden calf. May not know all the details of that story, but they'll know the idea of the golden calf. And Pastor Chris pointed us to that story last Sunday. And now we're picking up following that debacle where the Israelites got involved with blatant, unbridled idolatry in worshiping the golden calf, and God's response to Israel. And now the big question for the people of Israel is, where do we go from here? And what is our standing with God? Is God going to abandon us? Is God going to forsake us? Or is God going to continue with us as our God? So I would encourage us, as we begin, to have a word of prayer. Oh, dear Lord, we are grateful how you meet us where we are in our lives, how you give us forgiveness upon forgiveness when we mess up, when we aren't faithful, when we're disobedient, and when we drift into a sense of idolatry where we give something or someone pride of place in our lives over you. So Lord, help us to hear this story. Help us to find ourselves in this story in a way that will assure us of the good news of your love in Jesus Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen. The reading begins in Exodus 33, chapter 12, or verse 12. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you have said to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found favor in my sight. Now if I have found favor in your sight, show me your ways, so I may know you and find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people." He said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And he said to him, "If your presence will not go, do not carry us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people, unless you go with us? In this way we shall be distinct, I and your people, from every people on the face of the earth." The Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing that you have asked, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." Moses said, "Show me your glory, I pray." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you the name, the Lord. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one shall see me and live. And the Lord continued, see, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face you shall not see. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And one thing is clear from this conversation, that the presence of God in Moses' life and in the life of the people of Israel is paramount to his way of thinking. The idea, there's no point in even going further, Lord, if you won't accompany us, if you won't be with us and continue to be the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And the emphasis on being known by God, that God knows Moses by name. And I think of the theme song to Cheers way back in the 80s, that show. And one of the big refrains in that theme song is being known. One stanza goes, sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. And is this desire to have someone know our name, is it simply the idea of not just being a face in the crowd? I think it's much more than that. The idea of sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, and the song goes, and they're always glad you came. The desire to be known, the desire to be valued, the desire to be loved, the desire of belonging and being accepted runs deep into the human spirit, into what it means to be a human being in relationship with other people. And the importance of a name and what that implies, because a name and someone knowing our name doesn't automatically mean there's an intimate relationship. It can be a casual relationship. It can actually be an antagonistic relationship. But at the heart of this passage and what we're looking at is being known through a relationship, a meaningful relationship, a valued relationship. And we are back in college football. And it's always interesting to see the press conferences in the middle of the week by the coach, and then the post-game press conference following the game. And what's interesting to me sometimes is you'll see a coach, and he's asked about a particular player, and maybe this is a player who came in off the bench, and the coach doesn't refer to the player by name. He says, oh, number 10, number 50. Or he'll refer to the player by the position that he played. But it's pretty clear that he can't recall the name of the player. And sometimes you get the sense from the coach that, yeah, I'll remember this player's name when he does something worthwhile for me to remember him by. But that goes completely 180 degrees in the other direction in terms of God knowing our names, God being in an intimate personal relationship with us, the name that we belong to God. We're back to God's grace. God doesn't know our names based on what we have done or how all the gifts and talents that we can bring, because of course those come from God to begin with. God knows our name simply because he loves us. Unconditional love, unmerited grace, the freedom to be in that kind of relationship as we are. And it's helpful to think about God knows you by name. It meant a great deal to Moses. How important is it to you in your life and in your faith to know that as you begin each day, you are known by name by God? This speaks of God's personal love and value that he has for you. God knows you by name. As we begin our day, it's the confidence that there's nothing that can separate us from God's love. There is nothing that will cause God to forget our names or to discount who we are. And knowing God knows us, we are then in turn encouraged to be intentional and to value knowing God and knowing the names of God. God is provider. God is savior. God is creator, and so much more. And the idea of knowing God by his name emphasizes that in our faith, in our relationship with God, this is a mutual relationship. This is not a monologue by God. This is not all God on one end of things. This is a interactive, give and take, back and forth, flowing relationship with the God of all creation. And out of that relationship, Moses also hangs on to the good news that he has found favor with God. This is not simply about Moses earning God's favor. It is about the favor of God that results, that Genesis takes place in the love of God to begin with, and the fact that God has taken that initiative in the relationship. And to be known by God by name, to have found favor with God, is all about, for Moses, being in the consistent, continual, faithful presence of God. We think about David in Psalm 51 after his affair with Bathsheba. And in that famous Psalm 51, he says, "Oh Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me." It's like, don't banish me from your presence. For in you, O Lord, is when we move and live and have our being, is what the Apostle Paul says in Acts. God says, "My presence will go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest." And again, you see the link between living life and living life with God and experiencing God's blessings and God's rest in our lives. And God says to him, if your presence will not go, Moses says, if your presence will not go, do not carry us up from here. For how shall it be known that I found favor in your sight and I and your people unless you go with us? Those who have tasted and experienced God's grace in their life, the example so often of people who are in a very difficult time, loss of job, in the hospital room, feeling hopeless, and yet knowing that there is hope in God and saying, how do people make it without a sense of faith in God? And that expression to me really captures the idea of not just a statement of belief, but it's a narrative of experience, that they've experienced God's presence in a very real way. And because of that very real experience, they have hope and strength for what's next. And from this idea of knowing God and God, being known by God, Moses is really focused on God's glory. He says, God, I want to see your glory. And theologians make the distinction between the internal glory of God and the external glory of God. And not to get bogged down on that, but the internal glory of God never waxes or wanes. It always is, because God always is in his majesty and his glory and his wisdom and his righteousness and his holiness. But externally, in this fallen world, the visibility and the knowledge of the glory of God waxes and wanes. And it waxes and wanes in our own lives. And so we're encouraged to live a life, to ask the question, what does it mean to live in the presence of God and in the glory of God? And then to be able to reflect the glory of God back to a hurting and broken world. To say that as I live in the presence of God, this is why it makes a difference. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where we can find strength when I am weak, when I can find love when I feel loveless, when I can gather hope when everything around me seems hopeless, and so much more. So the glory of God, Moses connects with the presence of God and God knowing him by name. And then we get to this very, really interesting account where God says, I'm going to honor, Moses, what you're praying for, because this is really a prayer for Moses. I'm going to do that, but God sort of redirects Moses' prayer. Moses says, I want to see your glory, and God says, I'm going to show you my goodness. And I think that's instructive as we think about our relationship with God and as we pray to God. As we pray to God, we know that there are times we just can't find the words. The pain, the struggle, the despair, the discouragement is just too great, and we just can't put two words together, much less form a sentence. And we know that God's Spirit prays on our behalf with deep groans before the throne of God. And yet I think that as we pray to God, there are times where I think we can sense God redirecting our prayer so that our prayer is not so much just about us, but maybe he's redirecting our prayer to have a heart for others, to have us to redirect our prayers in a way where we see the world more as God sees the world, and to maybe be better able to see that what we pray for on our behalf is really not the most pressing thing in our lives, but that there's really something more of greater urgency that we need to pray to God for, to receive in our lives, to strengthen us in faith, hope, and love, to build up our relationships, to build up our communities, and so on. And God places Moses in the cleft of a rock so he'll be able to witness God, witness and experience God as God passes by. And I find that fascinating to contemplate. You might be able to speak autobiographically about this yourself. Have you sensed that sometimes God has led you into a place, into a situation, into a conversation or experience where you realize that God has done so that I might experience God more intimately in my life, that I might gain a greater sense of God's care and compassion in my life, the fact that God really is in my life. That thought about where God has might be leading you or placing you where you can experience his presence, I think is very real, and you hear people on, in terms of Christian disciplines and discipleship, reflect on that and take time to get away, as we know Jesus did going to the mountain. But I also want to say from this that we're encouraged to be aware that God is intentionally, in our day-to-day living and our everyday activities, continues to seek to give us a sense of presence if we'll only be receptive and take time to slow down and turn down the noise and get off of social media and just not spend hours looking at a screen. God invites us to our own cleft of the rocks to be silent, to be still, to be calm, and to experience the God who wants to give you rest and to fill you with his love. And so God passes by Moses, and as he passes by, he reveals his back to Moses, because we're told that the full weight of God's glory would destroy Moses, which reminds us, be careful what we ask for. But as God passes by Moses and reveals his back, I think there's another spiritual principle we can take from this, in that as we look back on our lives, we can see where God was actually working in our lives, where God was passing through, in a sense, in our lives to awaken us to what he calls us to do and awakens us to what he calls us to be in Jesus Christ, and awakens us to where he's leading us to use the gifts and talents that he's given to us. I think back in my own life, and as a programmer analyst, I certainly felt called at that time to be involved with what God was doing and to want to honor God with my work in that workplace environment. But then through the course of various people and conversations, feeling that God was now leading me into a call to ministry. But as I look back on that time as a programmer analyst, it was important to do in that moment for its own sake. God was also preparing me for the call to go into ministry and to have an understanding about what it means to be in the work world and to face the struggles and demands that are there. And I also think of how someone might look back in terms of a situation, a new opportunity, and as they take advantage of that, they look back and see how God was preparing them all along for that new opportunity, for that new situation, for that that new adventure. People going through illness oftentimes will say that as they look back over the course of that journey through that illness, how they realized God was active in doing things in their lives that they really weren't fully aware of at the time, that saw them through and inspired them, and how God brought people into their lives to walk that journey with them. And I think of that famous poem, Footprints in the Sand. Many of us are familiar with that. And it goes like this. One night I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me. God whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never, ever, during your trials and testings, when you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. Looking back to move forward. And thinking about this passage, I went back and looked at some of the pictures that I took on our mission trips to Honduras. And there's three images of a young Honduran boy walking up this steep hill that has stayed in my mind ever since, and I refer back from time to time. And this young boy is about a little over halfway up this steep hill, and he's pushing a wheelbarrow, and it looks like he's got like some heavy sand or dirt or something in the wheelbarrow. And he gets about two-thirds of the way up that steep hill, and he stops. And then he looks back down the hill, almost as if he's looking at how far he's come. Then he turns back around, grabs the handles of the wheelbarrow, and looks up ahead and starts moving towards the top of the hill. That's a picture in my mind of perseverance that God inspires within us. We look back to see how far we've come, to how far God has brought us, and then we look ahead, we grab the handles of our life, and we start continually moving up the hill towards the destination. In Jesus Christ, even now, even as you go about your day, even as you live your life, you are fully known by God. No matter your joys and struggles, your accomplishments and your failures, no matter the crazy twists and turns that take place in your life, you are fully known by God. The staggering, glorious, life-giving good news of the gospel is that the God we praise and worship in love, and in love knows you by name, and out of that eternal, everlasting love, calls you by name as one of his dearly beloved children. God offers to us each day the gift of love and his presence. And each day is a new opportunity to say yes to God's love and to receive with joy God's presence. Thanks be to the God who even knows us by our nicknames. Amen. Let us pray. Oh Lord, what a great love you give to us. We are grateful that we are not nameless people before you, faceless people before you, but that, Lord, you know our names, and it's out of love you draw us close and call to us. Give us the grace to respond this day and always, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.